Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Y'all tell the people them, no?
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us tonight. Our lines will be open, so you can call 619-639-4733 with your comments, questions, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 619-639-4733. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or GITM, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, home or house church usually have 20 people or less. Small churches are up to 100 adults, and parachurch ministries could be Bible studies, prayer groups, men or women's ministries that are not churches in and of themselves, but walk alongside the church. We're featuring one home, small, or parachurch ministry each month by interviewing them. We hope that as you hear them tell their personal testimonies, share their history, their current activities, their future vision, and preach the word of God, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Y'all tell the people them, no?
God bless each one of you today. We welcome you to God in the Midst. Get 'em program. God bless you. Get 'em Blog Talk Radio. And we praise God for each one of you that are on the line now and those of you who will listen at a later time. My name is Pastor Helen Price, and I'm here sitting in right now for my sister, Apostle Barbara Kizzy, who is the host of the Get 'em Radio program. I thank God for her. My sister is at the hospital with our dad. They had to put him in the hospital today, and it's been a long process. And we thank God for her and my sister, Pastor Catherine, that they're there getting him admitted into the hospital. So she asked me if I would not only, I was already asked to speak on the program, but then she asked me would I also be the host of the program. So I want to thank God for each one of you. To Pastor Mom, I know that you're listening, and to anyone that's listening, any others that are listening, and to those who will listen to this program at a later date, we just welcome you to this Get 'em Radio broadcast. I want to say Happy New Year's to each and every one of you. And as we come today, we want to begin to go into a word of prayer. And not only are we going to pray for my dad, his name is Herbert, But we're also going to pray for you all right now, for those who are listening now and those who will listen at a later time, because there's truly no distance in prayer. Dear kind Heavenly Father, as we come this day in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come this day and worship you this day in the beauty of your holiness. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We worship you and praise you this day for your good and goodness, for your tender mercy, your amazing grace. And we praise you above everything else, Lord God Almighty, even now for your precious darling Son, Jesus Christ. For you, precious Holy Spirit, for you, kind Heavenly Father, we know that you're one, and we worship you this night in the very beauty of your holiness. We come this day thanking you for all of your manifold blessings. Thank you again for waking us up in the morning, for protecting us all throughout the night last night. Thank you again for giving us food to eat and clothes to wear, Father God, and a nice place to stay and a nice vehicle to drive. Even we thank you for gas in the vehicle. We thank you for health and for strength, for the use and activity of our arms and of our legs, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for letting us be in our right mind with long-term and short-term memory. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us the ability to taste things, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us the ability to touch, Lord God. We don't take things for granted. We worship you tonight. We thank you for all of your manifold blessings unto us. We thank you for traveling mercies, grace, and favor, peace, and protection, Lord God, even as we've gone in and as we come out. We thank you for home mercies, grace, favor, peace, and protection, Lord God. Oh, we thank you, Lord God, for all of your manifold blessings. Even as the writer said, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise you enough, Lord God Almighty, for your good and your goodness, for your tender mercy, and for your amazing grace. We worship you and for your darling Son, Jesus Christ. We just come this night and we gather together tonight, Lord Jesus, in your name. And you promised us that if just two of us would gather together in your name, you said, there you are in our midst. And we know, Lord God Almighty, that when you're here in our midst, you're here to meet each one of us at the point of our need, whatever that need might be. We thank you, Lord God, even tonight for all of your blessings. And Father, as we come this night, I want to lift up my dad to you, Lord God. And we thank you and praise you, Lord God, that we have brought him before you in prayer. And as we come, Lord God, we continue to use the authority that you give unto us as believers in Jesus Christ. For you said in your word, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And in one translation, Father God has said, whatever we say yes to, you'll say yes to. Whatever we'll allow, you'll allow. Whatever we say no to, you'll say no to. And whatever, so we come, and what we don't allow, you won't allow. So we come and we speak in Jesus' name to every spirit of weakness, sickness, disease, infirmity, pain, and discomfort in my dad's body. And we rebuke it at the root and charge and command it by the authority that you've given unto us as believers in Jesus Christ. We charge and command even now all weakness, sickness, and disease, infirmity, pain, and discomfort to leave my dad now and not return in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, touch him in every cell and organ and system of his body. Let there be healing and wholeness and wellness and soundness, recreated miracles, and total recovery to every cell and organ and system in dad's body, from the top of dad's head to the soles of his feet, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Father God, we would be remiss if we didn't pray for every person who is listening. And those, even those who may listen years later, Lord God, those who are listening tonight and those who may listen years later, we come and we lift each one of them up to you too, Father God. We speak to each all weakness, sickness, disease, infirmity, pain, and discomfort in the bodies of anybody that's listening. That person that's going through and have a headache on their head in the name of the Lord Jesus. That person that's hurting in their back in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ. Those that may be experiencing problems in their feet, their knees, their ankles, or that I by see, Isanda, in every cell and organ and system of their body. Lord God, we rebuke all weakness, sickness, disease, infirmity, pain, and discomfort from off of their body. And we charge it and command it to cease and desist and to leave their bodies and not return. And we pray your word over them, Father God, that even now that by the stripes of Jesus they are and were healed, and that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. No weapon even now of weakness, sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. No weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that will rise against them in judgment shall be declared to be in the wrong. Oh, Lord, touch each one. Touch each one from the top of their head. That's it, Lord. Touch them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Let there be healing, health, wholeness, soundness, wellness, even in the inward parts, Lord God, every cell, every organ, in Jesus' name. And let there be healing, health, and wholeness. And, Lord, I thank you. I praise you, Father God. I give you praise, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. For you said every knee of things in the heaven, in the earth, and under the earth should bow its knee, Lord God, to your name, Lord God. And we give you praise, for there is no other name like your name. He can better the whole that I about see. So I thank you, Lord God. And I ask, Father God, also, that you would meet each one at the point of their need, whatever their need might be, Lord God, whether it be spiritually, physically, financially, socially, emotionally, Lord God, soulishly, Lord God, in whatever area, Lord God, that you would meet each one of us, Lord God, this night at the point of our need, in Jesus' name. Lord, provide the needs, Lord God. Give peace of heart and mind to the one that needs peace of heart and mind, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I commit and commend each one to you and to the word of your grace that's able to keep each one, in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We honor you. We reverence you. And we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. Lord, I ask for strength for my sisters, Lord God, for Apostle Kizzy, and for Pastor Catherine. Oh, bless them, Lord God. Oh, bless them, Lord God, as they tend to Daddy, Lord God. Bless them, Lord God, in the way that they need it the most, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Strengthen them, Lord God, in the name of the Lord. And to every person who's a caretaker, who's been a caretaker, Father God, and caretaking for their loved ones, Lord God, I ask that you would strengthen them, Lord God, and give them the strength that they need, Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, before I leave, I know I prayed for infirmities, but whoever's going through in their stomach area, that person that's just lay your hands upon your stomach and upon that side, oh, that I'm on this, the dead king, be healed, be whole, be well, be sound. Oh, that I'm on this, the dead king, I speak to that spirit of infirmity that radiates around to your back. I rebuke it and charge and command it to leave you now. Leave you now in Jesus' name. And to those that may have been diagnosed, there may be somebody that's been diagnosed with cancer, and they just don't know what to do. Well, you lay your hands right now upon yourself right now, and we speak in Jesus' name to every cancer cell in that body. We rebuke it, Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we charge and command it to leave you now in Jesus' name and not return, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, we give you praise because we know that there is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing impossible with you, Lord God. You're the God that can do anything but fail. And we give you praise, kind Heavenly Father. We love you, we honor you, and we reverence you in Jesus' name. And Father God, as we come tonight, we ask that even as we go into the word tonight, that you have your way tonight. Lord God, have your way tonight as we go into your word on this night, in this prophetic month, Lord God. Have your way. Lord God, we ask that even tonight that you would speak through me, even tonight, with clarity by your spirit, with clarity, accuracy, with simplicity, and with a good understanding. And that also, Father God, that even now, Daddy God, that you would let each one of us hear. Let our perception be right. Let us hear with clarity, accuracy, with simplicity, and with a good understanding. Lord God, have your way. Minister to our spirits, and I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you thanks this day. Oh, that I'm on this day. One more I hear of that one that's going through behind the eyes. Oh, that I'm in the sinus area. Oh, that I be healed. Behold, that one on the chest. Oh, that I'm on this day. Bede king, adoroko. Oh, that I be healed. Behold, be well, be sound. Oh, that I'm on this day. Bede king, adoroko. And I just pray for every person that's listening, those who are listening now and even at a later time, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that will rise against you in judgment shall be declared and shown and proven to be in the wrong in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you praise, Father God. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you thanks. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight. And again, if you're just coming on tonight, we want to welcome you to the Get 'Em Radio broadcast program, God in the Mist. And if you're wondering where Apostle Kizzy is tonight, I said before I began to pray that she's at the hospital with my dad. And Pastor Catherine, they're admitting my dad into the hospital today. And so they're just checking him out for some things, and we just thank God for them, for her being there with him. And she had asked me earlier to minister on the program, and then she asked me to host, and Joy is our what is the title? Engineer. Joy is our engineer tonight. And we thank God for our engineer. I'm going to ask our engineer if she'll do me a favor for a few seconds. Hello. God bless you. God bless each one of you. Now, tonight, as we become tonight, every year, Apostle does on the Get 'Em Radio broadcast program, she does has a prophetic series where ones come on and they give what the Lord has given them in their hearts and in their spirits about that particular year. And I praise God for that, because God has so much. God will minister a tailor-made message each time to a tailor-made people. He has so many. He has his insight, his wisdom, his knowledge, his good understanding to impart to us for that year, so that we may be able to go forth in all that he's called us to do. He loves us like that. It said that, you know, there's no father that does not will not come and discipline their own child and give them the directions that they need. And so God our Father will give us directions. He'll give us directions that we need. So, again, I want to say happy, blessed new year and new decade to each one of you. And one of the reasons that Apostle asked me to come on sometimes is because I can remember we saw back in 1989, I was ministering a lot in the New York area. And in 1989, the Lord began to deal with me very profoundly, that he said in the 90s, as the decade of the 90s was coming in, the Lord began to just boom in my spirit that the winds of change are blowing, and that the decade of the 90s, he said, anything that could be moved would be moved, and that he wanted us to be on the right side of that wind blowing, because one of the things that is equated with the Holy Spirit, you have 9 fruit of the Spirit, 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost, and the wind. So he had begun to say that there is going to be a great wind of change that is going to be blowing in the decade of the 90s. And what was astounding to my sister was that on that day, on that January 1st of 1990, was when the headlines had in big bold letters, "The winds of change are blowing." And it was just such a blessing that God gave a confirmation. There were good things that blew in during that decade of the 90s. There were things that came down in the decade of the 90s. We watched where the Berlin Wall, right at the end of 1989 going into 1990, that Berlin Wall came down. And so we just see that God will move by his spirit. And so that's where he deals with me. He comes many times over the years. He deals with me in 20-year increments. At 2000, he began to give me what I needed to do for the next 20 years, from 20 to 2020, in order to stay strong in him, in order to go forward in him, and to do the things that he called me to do. And so, and then each year, around April of every year, during the Jewish New Year, right around the Jewish New Year, around April of the year, God begins to give me a hint of what he's going to be doing the next year. By the time the summer, as the summer is coming in, you can begin to see the character and the nature of this thing coming into being by his spirit. He'll begin to reveal to me what he's going to be doing in that next year. Because by the time that new year comes into being, by that time, then let me show you exactly some of the things that are going to be happening during that year. You know, God deals with people in different kinds of ways, and that's the way he prophetically works with me to show me. Even I'll talk about this in the message about how he began around 2017 to begin to minister to me what the decade of the 20s would be like. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. And he began to show me some of the character and some of the nature of what the decade of the 20s would be like. So I praise God for that, and I give him glory, I give him praise, and I give him honor. So tonight we're going to go right into the word tonight. We're not going to, prayerfully, we'll be able to do this in an expeditious time by the Spirit of God. I'm looking to him, as I said, to speak through me with clarity and accuracy, with simplicity, and with a good understanding. And again, as I said before, that we may hear with clarity and accuracy, that our perception might be good as we listen by the Spirit of God. Lord, have your way. Have your way, Daddy God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we go, one of the things that the Lord has given for this, he's told me that he's given us prophetic directives for 2020 and the decade of the 20s, that it may be well with us, not only this year, but throughout the entire decade. Prophetic directives for 2020 and the decade of the 20s, that it may be well with us, not only this year, but throughout the entire decade. Another title of this message could be strong, stay strong, live long. I'm going to say that again. He said, be strong, stay strong, and live long. Glory to God. God will always prepare his people for what he's bringing them to by giving them specific instructions and directives. In fact, when Jesus saw the multitude, the word of God says that he was moved with compassion and began to teach them. He began to give them directives. Mark 6 and verse 34. And listen, as I read these, you might say, oh, she's going kind of fast with the scriptures. If you don't get them, they go into the archives. You can go back and listen to this. In the archives of the God in the Mist program of Get 'em Radio, you can go back and listen to it so you can get those scriptures. But for time's sake, I might go a little bit fast as far as the scriptures, but I will give them to you so that you can come back and listen to them at another time. So in Mark 6 and verse 34, it says, and Jesus, when he came out and saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Did you see that? You need to mark that in Mark 6, 34. When Jesus was moved with mercy and compassion over the multitude, the word of God says he looked at them like sheep not having a shepherd, so that the first thing he began to do, one of the things, was to begin to teach them many things. Teaching is, put your ear, I think that's Nakia, Lady Nakia King says, put your ear catchers out. Teaching is an expression of God's mercy and of his grace and goodness. Never forget that it has been said that preaching exhorts us and brings us into the kingdom. But teaching is intended to help us to grow. Hallelujah. For our minds to be renewed in the Lord, that we may have the mind of Jesus Christ. It's such a sad and sorry thing, the perceptions of some people. I mean, the perceptions, they'll look at things from a certain aspect, and you go, whoa, where did they get that from? Where did that come from? But if you go in the Word, God wants us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, that we may think like he thinks. Hallelujah, even though his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. But he wants to be able to teach us, to help us to grow. And this is seen very clearly throughout the book of Deuteronomy. As the children of Israel were about to enter their good land, that land that flowed with milk and honey, and I want to say this, that there are many of you that have been in places that, because you're already in Christ, there are things of promise that God is about to move you into. There are things that God is moving us into. And he's prepared us for what he's moving us into, and he's given us further directives and instructions. That's important in 2020. That's so important. You know, there are ones, and I heard Apostle minister on the message that God had given her for 2020, and it was about being focused. I've heard ones talk about vision. Having the vision, that 2020 is a time where we will have that vision, clarity. There's a song that I used to like back in the day. It says, I can see clearly now that the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. And that's where God is bringing clarity. He's bringing understanding. He's bringing that vision. Sometimes when we're walking, I love to to see this. The Lord would show me there were many years when there would be things like he would tell me that it should be, especially when you're learning how to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. You know, it's almost like having a sheet before your face, an opaque sheet. On the other side, God said, now walk this way, walk that way, walk that way. And he's teaching you to walk in the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit are the children of God. So he will begin to lead you. He will begin to guide you. And many times, you only get to a certain point when that sheet comes down, and you'll see very clearly, oh, that's what that was all about. That's what that was. Oh, I can see clearly now. Glory to God. So many of you are, some of you are like in a waiting place, and you know what God has promised you. He said he was going to do it, but in the meanwhile, he was getting you ready for all that he called you to do. Some of you are right now walking in the fullness of the promise, and he wants you to be able to, remember it said, be strong, stay strong, and live long. He wants you to be able to be blessed continually in that land. And we need to hear these words over and over again of how to stay strong, be strong, stay strong, and how to live long, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so as the children of Israel were about to enter their good land, that land that flowed with milk and honey, Moses gave the people of God clear-cut teachings. If you go to Deuteronomy, it's such a wonderful, wonderful book. Because as you go through Deuteronomy, it rehearses the law, and then it also tells you the directive. He gives very clear-cut directives to the children of Israel, teachings and directives before entering their promised land. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 through 3, it says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess. I'm going to say that again. That's Deuteronomy 6, and I'm reading 1 through 3. But verse 1 says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess. Verse 2 says, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes. See, God wants us to fear, to reverence him. To keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged, that you may have long. One translation says that you may have long life. Another translation says that you may enjoy long life. God has so many scriptures where he promises a long life to his people. In fact, I want to challenge you to look up and study each verse where God promises his people long life here on this earth. Long life. In Job 12 and verse 12, it says, and then he gives the reason in Job 12, 12, why, and Job is speaking here, and it says, why does he want us to have long life? He says, is not wisdom found among the aged? Because he imbues them with wisdom, the aged. Does not long life bring understanding? That's what it says in Job 12, 12. God gives us that long life that wisdom may be found amongst the aged. And long life brings understanding. In Psalms 91 and verse 16, God says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God wants his people to have, he promises his people long life here on earth. In fact, he even gave a commandment with a promise. Ephesians 6, verse 2 and 3 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life on the earth. And then when he talks about the wisdom of God, the very wisdom of God, in Proverbs 3 and verse 13, it says, wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Oh, yes, indeed, saints of God. God promises his people long life. He wants us to enjoy and have long life. That's why he will give us directives. He will teach us what to do and how to do in our good land. Now, let's go back to Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 through 3. I read 1 and 2. Verse 3 says, therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, as Christian believers, our good land is in Jesus Christ. And this good land in Jesus Christ flows with first and foremost a relationship with God our Father. John 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We are now family. We're a part of God's family. This past week, I've had a kind of a busy week, been going almost every day this week. And one of the things is I go to the gym. And so when I was at the fitness center and the coach, my coach's name is Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah, he was telling me what, you know, what I needed to do and how I needed to do. And I was on the treadmill and to be able to, you know, tell me what to do and how to do. And then the Holy Spirit said, now ask him gently, now because, you know, these people that are in this the fitness, you know, they exercise their muscles and everything. And I asked him about where was he in the Lord? And he said, oh, yes. He said he was in Oklahoma. Well, that got my attention because my children went to school at Oral Roberts University. Two of my children did. And so I said, now, where are you at now? Do you go to, are you attending a church? He said, oh, no, I don't attend a church. He said, I'm not into religion. And he looked at me dead in my eye like, I'm not into religion. And I said, well, you know, one thing is there is such a thing as some religion where we are in our walk in the Lord, because the Word of God says in James 1 and verse 27 that pure religion, religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. What people said that they're not into is a lot of the rituals and the things. And there are still even a lot of politics that happen in churches that are religious things that go on in church. I said, but I told them, I said, this is not about a religion. This is about, even though we must still have pure religion, we still must have that pure religion, which is undefiled before the Father, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep ourselves unstained from the world. In other words, to walk holy before God. But I said, this is about a relationship. I said, this, the first and foremost, our walk in Jesus Christ is about a relationship. So our good land flows first and foremost with a relationship with the God of all the universe, the God, God our Father. For as many as has received Jesus Christ, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We are family. Oh, you love that song? We are family. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. And because of that, our good land now flows because of Jesus' body that was broken and his blood that was shed for us. Our good land flows with an inheritance. We have an inheritance through Jesus Christ. A better covenant based upon better promises, a better testament. You know, you have where they have what do they call that? When someone passes away and they have the will, they have a will. We have a better will, a better testament. Jesus gave his life to give us that. We have a better covenant based on better promises, and our good land for flows with, as we said, a relationship with God our Father. But it also flows with so many, many blessings. Glory to God. Let me come back again because I want to make sure I say this, that our inheritance through Jesus Christ flows with everlasting life, with peace with God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. It flows with healing, health, wholeness, deliverance from every bondage. That's what belongs to you. You know, we have a constitution in America that says that we have a right, through our constitution, it says, to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the major thing that we find out that the things that are going on in the political realm now is that they're talking about things that ones are looking at on both sides are constitutional issues. What somebody can do, what somebody can't do, and what belongs to us or what does not belong to us. So, but in Jesus Christ, we have an inheritance that flows through Jesus Christ that flows with first and foremost a relationship with God. That's how we got the inheritance. Then it flows with everlasting life, peace with God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Flows with healing, health, and wholeness, deliverance from every bondage and habit, protection. It flows with prosperity, plenty, and more than enough. It flows with favor, righteousness, redemption, sanctification, and so much more. And as the children of Israel needed very clear-cut directives and instructions as they entered into their good land, as we are in this good land in Jesus Christ, we need clear-cut directives and instructions. And as we enter into 2020 and for this new decade of the 20s, we're going to have very clear-cut directives and instructions so that we may go forward, so that we may be strong, stay strong, and live long, and enjoy and do all that God has called us to do. Now, one of the things about this decade of the 20s, as he began to minister to me about this decade of the ministry of this next decade, he said that he wanted it to go well for us, for our families, for our ministries, our businesses, and again, that we may prolong our days and enjoy an abundant life going forth in the Lord. A few months ago, the Lord began to minister to my heart some directives or instructions for the year 2020. Also, as I said before when I started, a few years ago in 2017, the Lord began to show me what the character and nature of the new decade from 2020 to 2029 would be like. And it reminded me of the opening line from the Charles Dickens classic novel, The Tale of Two Cities, which says, in part, that it was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. He began in 2017, began to give me a little character nature. God has me ponder on things. And in 2017, 3 years before this new decade was coming in, it was an exciting time, a best of time for me, because I was graduating from college, and I thought that it would be just a little quiet little time. I was just happy to be able to physically walk across that stage to come across and get that degree. But what made that time so special for me was all of the family members who came to celebrate that graduation with me. That really touched my heart and caused me to ponder on the goodness of God to touch my mom, Pastor Mom, my sisters, my brother, and so many of my family to come. However, during that same year in 2017, even though that was a good time, it was one of the best of times, but in 2017, our family experienced the worst of times. When my sister Martha passed to be with the Lord, when my nephew Joshua passed to be with the Lord, and two of my first cousins, Lanny and Dwayne, passed to be with the Lord. This also caused me to ponder. Never in all my days had I or our family experienced so many deaths at one time. With the help of the good Lord, he comforted us. He gave us peace with strength, and we made it through. Well, now, as we began to look at this new year of 2020, and we began to go into the decades of the 20s, from 2020 to 2029, we want to be able to remember some directives by the Lord to focus on. As they say, 2020, the focus, the vision, to focus on. And the first directive the Lord gave me for 2020 and the decade of the 20s is if we're going to be strong, if we're going to stay strong, and we're going to live long, is that we're going to have to keep Jesus first place in our lives. We must never lose our first love, even when working for him. We must seek him first, his kingdom, and his righteousness. Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, seek him first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. But then we must understand what the kingdom of God is. It says it's not meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When we seek God's kingdom, when we come and seek God's righteousness, we seek his way of doing and being right. In this year of 2020, we've got to do things God's way, to seek his way of doing and being right. In this decade, we're going to have to seek his way of doing and being right. I thought about when we began and the Lord was dealing with me about the message, he had me to go back and study through the 20s. When there were certain parts of the 20s, and even in the decade in the 20th century, he had me to study about 1920, which was the Roaring 20s. Anything went. They said anything goes. They had their, I mean, it was like the 60s. If it felt good, they said do it. In the 20s, it was a time of just, I mean, it was something. The ladies' skirts went from below the knee and came up to the knee. They had the flappers. They had enlightenment. In fact, this year is the 100th year of the women getting the right to vote. So there was excesses during that time. Even though Prohibition was in, there was speakeasies where people were drinking. It was just a time. But also during that time was the time when Smith's Wigglesworth and Amy Semple McPherson were raised up by the Lord, and who God had a woman to start one of the largest churches, in fact, in the world, that's still in Los Angeles now, the Four Square Church that's in Los Angeles. So there were many things that began to happen during that time of the 20s. But we also know that at the end of 29, there was a stock market crash. And even though it was a time, a heyday for many, a time of prosperity at the beginning as the 2020s came in, a time of prosperity for so many, but by the time 1929 came and the stock market crashed. So we see that, and then look at the 20s, if you will. If you look at even the 20, you got 20, we're in 2020. You look at 10, to the number 10, it's called that number for increase. But it will always be, when you get that increase, it will always be an increase with responsibility. You get the house with the swimming pool, you're going to have to put up a fence. You're going to have to, so that you won't lose your children in the midst of it. And then you want to be able to when you get the blessings that have, there's responsibility that comes. You get the car. You got to make sure you put oil in the car or to make sure you take care of whatever it is that God gives. There's a responsibility because the word of God says that prosperity in Proverbs 1, it says toward the end of that chapter, it says prosperity will kill a fool. You get a lot of people that get the lottery, and when they get the lottery, because they have no directives, and some of them have no directives, no teaching what to do, how to do, because prosperity has to have instructions. Prosperity, Paul said, I learned how to abase, but I also learned how to abound. You've got to learn how to be when it's hard times. You got to learn how to abase. I remember as I went in ministry, and I would go in ministry, and I would go in different homes in different cities. Sometimes I'd sit there, and a roach would crawl in my plate. And the Lord said, sweep it out, and keep on going. Don't you holler. Don't you act up. Just sweep it on and keep on going. Because I would be in someone's home. And he would let me know they're going through some things right now. So there are things that we have to learn how to abound. We have to learn how to abase. We must be taught. We must have directives. So he said during this time that we're to keep Jesus first place in our lives. That we're to seek God's righteousness. We must seek his way of doing and being right. Don't thumb your nose. The one that somebody might listen to this and don't include, you know, there are people, I'm not saying, because I believe I'm preaching to the choir. Don't. There are people that don't give him the time of day. That won't give God the time of day. He wakes them up, gives them food to eat, clothes to wear, lets them be able to see and to hear and all the many blessings. We must give him, put him first place in our lives. We must seek his way of doing and being right. In other words, what is pleasing unto him. When we seek his peace, we must remember to not be anxious. Remember that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So not only must we seek his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, but we must also seek his peace. We must remember God gives us a directive. He said, don't be anxious for nothing. And I'm going to tell you, it's really a choice. It's really, really a choice. We've had some profound things to happen over here where we live at. And in the midst of this, God has said, you've got to trust in me. We just had one of the most terrible kind of storms that passed through our area. And God says, you've got to trust me, Helen. You must trust me. And it's a trust. Choice that we've got to trust God and let his peace that passeth all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now remember that the kingdom of God is not only righteousness and peace, but it's also joy in the Holy Ghost. How do we seek the joy of the Lord? It's by spending special time with Jesus in his presence. For in Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, for in his presence is fullness of joy. You want to have joy? You want to be able to, God can give you that joy, that peace. When one man said, Minister Jerry Savelle said, if the devil can get your joy, he'll take your goods, he'll take your peace, he'll take everything if he can get your joy. But when you can think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for you, your soul will cry out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. And you can know, when that's why he said, seek his joy. Seek his joy by spending time with him in his presence. And, you know, when I was younger, as a younger woman, the one thing I would say, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. And I understand that. But, again, as people have said, happiness is based on happenings. But the joy of the Lord comes through knowing who God is, that you've got somebody that says to you, I'll never leave you, my child. I'll never forsake you. I will be with you till the very end of the age. That will tell you, don't let your heart be troubled. And sometimes I have a little joke he does with me all the time, especially when fear tries to come in. He'll say, Helen, don't be scared. You know, we mean we're scared. But he'll say, Helen, don't be scared. And I laugh, you know. He said, don't be scared. It's all right. I got this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see that we're to keep Jesus first place. That first directive is to keep Jesus first place in our lives. Hallelujah. Then the second directive for 2020 and the decade of the 20s is to let our moderation be made known unto all men. This is very important for the 20s. We've got to let our moderation be made known unto all men and to walk in integrity and in honor. Luke 12 and verse 48 says, to whom much is given, much will be required. We've been blessed. We're blessed. We're super blessed. I had went to a doctor, I think it was yesterday. I went to a doctor yesterday, and they were doing some work up on my circulatory system. He said, your circulatory system is very, very good. And I was thanking God for that. I honor God and thank him for that. And he's from India. And as I was, you know, looking at him and thinking about all the when I went to India, I thought I knew. I've been around. The Lord has blessed me to go around the world to Hawaii, Tokyo, Hong Kong, India, Germany, London, all over the world. And I thank God for that. When I got to India, I was taken aback because I thought I knew what poverty was. I thought I knew what poverty looked like. I didn't know what poverty looked like. And the doctor and I were discussing, and I was telling him about what I saw when I was there. And it was just astounding to see. And he told me, he says, it's better, a little bit better now since you've been there. He says, a little bit better now. And I thank God for that. So, but what I wanted you to hear was by the Spirit, but the Lord wants us to hear is that Luke 12, 48 says, to whom much is given, much will be required. We have much in this country. Even at our very poorest, we still have much. And then Philippians 4 and verse 5 says, let your moderation be made known unto all men, because the Lord is at hand. I heard for a minister McDowell, Sister Charlene McDowell, she had ministered on about at the time of Acts 17 and verse 30. And it says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. It is very important that during this time of this decade of the 20s and in 2020, it's very important that we don't lead a life of excesses, of lying, dishonesty, cheating, and stealing, because that will cause us not to live a long, abundant life in our good land in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly in John 10:10. That's a great blessing. But the only problem, and listen to the saints of God, the only problem about that is that when we can buy whatever we want to buy and eat whatever we want to eat and drink whatever we want to drink and go wherever we want to go and say whatever we want to say and basically do whatever we want to do, it can cause problems with our health and in other areas of our life. During this year and this decade, we want to remember the importance of moderation, a balanced life. We're encouraged in the word to keep our bodies under, to bring them into subjection, so that as we preach to others, we will not be a castaway. We're also exhorted by God to present our bodies unto him, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable and spiritual service. There are ones who have come into a lot of money through the lottery or other means, but have died very early because of the lack of moderation. This is this particular second directive, and I only have one more after this one, but this is very important that we understand that God is looking for us to walk in moderation and to walk in integrity and in honor. There are ones who literally lost their lives over a bad real estate deal in Acts 5 when Ananias and Sapphira lied about how much they sold property for and kept back part of the price and went in and told the disciples that they had sold it for so much. And Peter said, how could you lie to the Holy Ghost? So God is looking for, and then they both fell dead, Ananias and Sapphira. Well, we said, well, that was back then. And that's why the Lord was saying to me, during this decade as much has been given, to whom much is given, much is required. And he's saying we've got to let our moderation be made known. There was something that I'm going to bust my own self out and tell you. I went to take my daughter to school, and when I went, it was at night in the evening time on a Friday. And I always like fish on Friday. So I went to a restaurant here, and I sat down to have got. They had all-you-can-eat fish. All-you-can-eat was the fish you can eat. And I knew over the years that when they have things like all-you-can-eat fish or all-you-can-eat, they do not want you to take that fish out of there. What you can eat in there, you eat in there, but you cannot take that fish out. And so I sat in the place, and this is where God was dealing with. This is he began to show me as a result, I suffered. I opened up a hole, saints of God. I opened up a hole for the enemy to touch and to affect something that should not have happened in my life. I sat there, and I'm eating the fish. Now, the fish that came to me, the piece that they cooked, the pieces, they gave me too huge. I'm talking about I have kind of big hands, and this was bigger than my hands. This was a big old huge piece of fish, like one whole side of a fish, and it was two big huge pieces of fish. And so when I ate one of them, I got full. So I wrapped up the one that I had and put it in my bag. Okay. Now that was allowable because I didn't ask for the all you can. I mean, I was all you can eat, but I hadn't asked for any more. But then I got another plate, and she bought me this fish out. So I'm gonna wrap this. Now remember, you know they don't want you taking that fish out. That may seem like a real simple thing, you know, like people, you know, go in and take towels from to steal towels from a hotel or to steal things out that they should not take and take stuff that they should not take. We know that that's not right. And so with this fish, I'm putting this fish in my purse. By this time, I'm full, so I can't really eat no more. So I'm putting the fish up in my plate, and she saw that the plate was empty again. So she came out, but this time she comes out, and she brings me a container, a to-go container. I said, you all give to? She said, no, but I'm going to give it to you. I want to give you this. Now, see, God had already planned that he was going to bless me anyway through the young lady, but I'm going on and taking this fish. God didn't like that. God didn't like that at all. That may seem like a little thing, but if we're not faithful in few things, we won't be faithful in much. And that's why he was saying to me, as you go into this time, you cannot be doing things like that, Helen. You cannot do it. And so I'm on my way out to leave from the restaurant. You have to stand in this particular restaurant. You have to stand to pay for your meal as you go out. And I'm standing there at the counter, and nobody's coming to check me out. I stand a long time. A long time. And a couple came in, and we talked as they came in, and they were coming in to eat, and nobody came to seat them. And so finally they came and got them to seat them, and she said she was going to come back and give me the to check me out. And she still stayed away a long time. Then finally she came, And I had said, because I didn't want to go off, I didn't want to say the wrong thing, I said, I'm not going to say anything to this lady, because they've had me stand. I had to go pick up my child from school, and I'm saying they're letting me stand here a long time. And so the lady said, did you enjoy your food? And I wouldn't say anything. I'm a nice person, but that particular day, I didn't want to say nothing. She said, I said, did you enjoy your food? I said, you know what? I am going to call corporate and report this, because this ought not to be so. She said, I'm going to give you your money back. So she reversed off my card and gave me and canceled and said, you can just have your food for free. And then I said, but I'm still going to call. Now, I should have just said thank you then. I said, I'm still going to call corporate. And so she said, don't you raise your voice at me. I said, I'm not raising my voice at you. I said, I've just been standing here so long. I turned to a man that was sitting in the front booth. I said, mister, didn't you see me standing here all this time? And for a second, he lowered his head. But oh, my. The next thing you know, he jumped up. You get out of, he was a security guard. He said, you get out of our restaurant and don't you come back. And if I count to three and you're not out of here, I'm going to put these handcuffs on you. And I said, well, first I said, I'm not, in, I don't know why I do that. I said, I'm not intimidated by you. I said, I've not done anything wrong. No, he said, I'm going to call the police. And then he said, if that won't, I'm going to put these handcuffs. I said, then you call the police because I have not done anything. I shouldn't have did that. I shouldn't have done that, said that. But he said, I'm going to give you the three. Then the man that and his wife that had been sitting there talked to me as they came in. The man ran out. I said, man, don't talk to her like that. Another guy came, and he said, I'm filming it, you know. And so when he started counting, all I could envision was him putting them handcuffs on me. I said, well, by the time he got to two, I was out the door. And so when I got in the car, I was really visibly shaken within. I said, oh, Lord, this just shook me in the inside. He said, Helen, number one, you open up the door to you putting that fish in your pocket that you didn't need to do. You did need to do. You had already ate for full. You did not eat that fish for the next day. You did not need to take any fish out. He said, and I'm calling you to walk in integrity and honor, even when nobody's seeing it, even in the little things. Now, that's for me. But as he began to give me directives, he said, even for this decade, he said, Helen, we're going to have to walk in moderation and in integrity and in honor. Sometimes there are people just lie to hear themselves lie. That will steal just to steal and think nothing about it. He said there's going to be even consequences as it was with Ananias and Sapphira. They fell dead. There was a time that it seemed like God winked at that kind of thing, but this time is winding up. Things are winding up. There are things that are winding up, and he's expecting us to walk in moderation, in integrity, and in honor, because some things we just don't have to do. So then let's go to our last directive for today. Our last third directive is for 2020 and the decade of the 20s is that we must walk in love and in forgiveness. This is so important that we walk in the true character and nature of God's love. We really need to put that on our wall. We really need to put that 1 Corinthians 13:4, and it says like 4 through, I believe it's 4 through verse 8, we need to put that on our wall. The word of God says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It's not proud. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. And whether there be tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But love will always endure. So we need to put that before us, that God wants us to walk in love. But not only does he want us to walk in his love with one another, but he also wants us to walk in forgiveness. We must forgive others as an act of our will. In obedience to the word of God, we cannot afford unforgiveness nor bitterness in our hearts. In Hebrews 12 and verse 15, the word of God talks about bitterness. And the bitterness is an important subject. bitterness is very, very important, because bitterness is not only, will it not only affect us in our bodies, but it will also affect those who are around us. It said, be mindful of letting a root of bitterness that comes up in you that will come and defile somebody else. Sometimes there are ones, I have friends and I have people that call me with their problems and things that they're going through, and with family members or other people, even with their husband or wives. And sometimes when we hear what they have encountered and what they go through with them, sometimes we take up that bitterness and let it get in us. And they'll be through with it and over with, back with their loved ones and going on about their business. And here we are, that bitterness that came from them defiled us. We got to be careful, even where people and where people begin to. Sometimes there are people that will dump on us and dump their bitterness on us that ends up defiling us, or we dump our bitterness on somebody else and end up, causing them to be defiled. And so we want to be careful and mindful to walk in forgiveness. Now I'm going to go to the last passage of reading before I close, and I'm going to close because he's talking about forgiveness. During this year of this time of 2020 and the decade of the 20s, we're going to have to remember to forgive, to make sure that we walk in forgiveness, because God has forgiven us of so much. God has mercy upon us. He's forgiven us of so much, and then God wants us to forgive others, because that unforgiving spirit can cause things to rout up in us. We can't afford it. You can't afford to let bitterness. We can't afford to let bitterness. Even the security guard, the guard that came at me that day with the handcuffs, I had to immediately come and say, Lord, I release our love and forgiveness towards him as an act of my will and obedience to the word of God, because I was the one that opened the door for this thing to happen through me taking fish out of there. So we have to remember, no matter who it is, no matter what it is, I don't care how bad it is, it can be some really bad things that people will do and say to us. But we cannot let that thing fester. Sometimes there are weaknesses and sicknesses in our bodies that have come because of the lack of forgiving. We got to have it. It's got to be during this decade, we got to walk in much forgiveness so that we can be strong, stay strong, and live long in this land that God has given us. So I'm going to go and I want to read to you in Matthew 18. And these verses in Matthew 18, I challenge you, I really would challenge you to write them down, put them before your face, keep them up on your wall, so that you'll remember how much God has forgiven you of, and see what he says were the consequences of not having forgiveness. In Matthew 18 and verse 21, it says, Matthew 18, 21, Lord, when someone has sinned against me, how many times ought I forgive him? And these, by the way, these are our last scriptures for today. Lord, when someone has sinned against me, how many times ought I forgive him? Once, twice, as many as seven times? Jesus said, you must forgive not seven times, but seven times 70. Seven times 70. I want to get this one in the one where I love it, where they had an amount so we could see what the amount was. Bear with me for one second. I'm reading in the Bible, and I want to get this in here. Then Peter approached him and said, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus answered and said, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. 70 times 70. It says, but up to seven times, 70 times seven, which we know is 490 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle with accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him of the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is a small amount. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, you wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And verse 35 is so telling. You don't put anything but 18:35. You need it all up there. But 18:21 through 35, the verse 35th verse says, "So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." One translation says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Again, it says, and in another translation, "And that is what my Father in heaven will do to you unless you forgive each of your brothers and sister of your sisters from the very," and they said, I don't know what that means, "but from the very cockles of your heart," whatever cockles means, that's what the translation says, "from the very cockles of your heart to really forgive." And one translation says, "So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart." This is what's so very important during this time as we look in 2020 and as we go into the decade of the 20s. We can't afford the luxury of unforgiveness. And I know each one of us has had something. When I remember that there was a while back when a lady stood over my head and I didn't like what she said and did to me. And I mean, looked like bitterness came all up in my heart, hatred. And hatred and bitterness is like murder. Because I felt like she had no right to talk to me that way, to talk. That's pride right there. And then the Lord said, "Let it go. Release out love and forgiveness towards her as an act of your will and obedience to the word of God. Don't carry that mess in the inside of you." And when I did it, it helped me to release that love, to release out forgiveness as an act of my will in obedience to the word of God. We can't afford it. So as we close today, and we've been talking about the directives, the teachings, the directives, the instructions that God has given us for 2020. I know that there are many more people that are ministering so many messages, but these were the ones that God gave to me to be able to share with you and those who he would have to listen to what he would share through me. And he's given us directives. And the first directive that he gave for 2020 and for the decade of the 20s is keep Jesus first place in our lives. Never lose our first love, even when working for him. Don't put him on the back burner. He is who we need. He said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you." We want to live, dwell, and make our home in Jesus. We want to wrap ourselves up, tie ourselves up, and tangle ourselves up all in Jesus Christ. And then our second directive that God gave for 2020s and the decade of the 20s was, let our moderation be made known unto all men. God wants us to be moderate in all things and to walk in integrity and honor and truth, not lying, cheating, stealing, doing things that they're just not even necessary for us to be doing so that we can live long and live strong. And we established at the beginning of this message how it is important. God wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to live long. He wants us to grow wise. He wants us to have a good understanding. So he wants us to be able to walk in moderation. And whatever it is, whether it be in our speech and our talking, that we let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying. Because I'm going to tell you, saints of God, we're in the time now that there are people that I don't care where you are. I've seen where I was looking on Facebook where someone had put a video camera up. The people in the room had no idea that this video camera was up, and they were broadcasting live on Facebook, broadcasting live. And the people in the room had no idea they had that camera there. There are cameras that are now so little on buttons and on pieces of things that if you've got to, no matter what happens, you're going to have to be mindful. They talk about Big Brother watching. We're now in the place where there are eyes and ears in almost every place. And sometimes when you think you can just be free to say whatever you want to say, and God will say, don't say that. Don't you say that. Because there are many watchers. We don't know what kind. And they got this game called Sims. Where they would, you know, direct people's lives, you know, that little game, you know, that game called Sims. And some of you all know what I'm talking about. But we don't know. Sometimes they have things that are going on that we don't even know that they're doing. We don't even know that they're saying. So he said, let us be moderate, and even in our words, because there are things even behind closed doors that you think nobody would know, nobody would see. Nobody, you know, but you got to be mindful. I'm closing out because I was on that second directive, but I just had let. I remember many years ago when they used to have, we'd start off with three-way calling, and I can remember a lady called me. I was in the kitchen washing dishes, and she called me on the phone, and she said, Helen, tell me, what do you think about so-and-so and so-and-so? I said, and for some reason, I got the biggest check in my spirit. I don't really like the telephone, but the people that know me don't know that even though I talk, I want to see you face to face. But nowadays, even when you see people face to face, you've got to understand there are people that will have their phones taping you while you're taping. They have all kinds of things going on. And she asked me about how. I said, you know what? I don't really want to talk right now. And I said, I'll talk with you later. And I remember as we hung up, that my phone rang right back again. And she said, Helen, one of my friends said, Helen, I didn't know she was going to do that. She got me on the phone and told me, just don't say nothing, just listen. And she said, then she called you up and asked you that question. See, there are things that people do that we're going to have to be moderate. We're going to have to be so, well, we can't speak everything we want to speak and speak our mind. But we're going to have to be able to let God lead us. So in this year, and one of those directives is that let our moderation in every area, whether it be eating or sleeping or whatever it is, be made known unto all men and to walk in integrity and honor. And thirdly, our last directive that God gave me for 2020 and the decade of the 20s is that we must walk in love. We must walk in love and in forgiveness, the true character and nature of love. We need to put that on the wall before our face so that we can be constantly be changed from glory to glory and let that word get down on the inside of us and walk in forgiveness. So, Father God, we thank you this day for your word, which is truly a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Your word are we hiding and continually depositing in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. We thank you this day, Lord God, even now for giving us instructions and teaching us that we may grow, that we may be strong, that we may stay strong, that we may, Lord God, live a long, good life in you. And, Lord God, to go forth in all that you called us to do, Lord God. For we are workmanship created in you, Lord Jesus Christ, for good works, Lord God. And we want to honor you, Lord God. We know that there are people that love houses and cars and lands, Lord God. But what's important to you is souls. Lord God, that we want to live long and strong, Lord God, that we may continually be laborers in your vineyard, Lord God, planting your word and watering your word, and that you may give the increase to it through us. For you said, Lord God, that the harvest is so ripe, but the laborers are so very few. Lord God, help us to be laborers prepared to go into your vineyard. And we love you, Lord. We honor you. We reverence you. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, now that's the message that the Lord gave me, and we're going to open up our lines now. And if Pastor Mom has not gone to sleep because her daughter has ministered, so I'll push my Oh, glory to God. The engineer is telling me, I did not say that we need each one of you that would like to make any comments tonight. Please push your number one key, and so that we may be able to talk with you tonight. And if you need to pray with us, to be able to pray about anything, we're there. And we're letting the Lord lead and guide us tonight. And even if God may have a word for you, we don't know. We just said we're looking unto him. Glory to God. So push your number one key. And Mom, if you, Pastor Mom, if you're not asleep, push your number one key. Did Mom push already? Okay, hello, Mom.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm not asleep. I'm listening.
You didn't go to sleep, Mom.
No,
how
I
you doing, Pastor Mom?
I'm good. Listen.
Oh, that's one.
I have to say, I would like to, no, I should have been wrote it down so I could know exactly what you said. And you, and one thing you said is look right, you know, listen to the Lord for what he has to say. I enjoyed the whole message. So I thank God
Hallelujah, Pastor Mom.
I won't talk too long so you can get somebody else to talk.
Well, I'm glad that you talk tonight, Mama, and God bless you, and I love you. Hallelujah. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue by in Jesus' name to continue to be strong as you are, to stay strong, and to so that you may continue to live long, that you may remember, Pastor Mom, that Moses started his ministry at 80 years old. He was 80 years old when God appeared to him at the burning bush. And God used him to lead his people. And that God keeps us and keeps you at the age that you are right now with the wisdom of God and the good understanding. I thank God for you. And thank God for the love of God that flows in and through your life. I praise God for you, Mom, and I just thank God for your strength and for your health and for all of the blessings of God upon your life. Glory to God.
Glory to God. I praise God for you, too.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor
Mom.
One
thing I want to say, I asked the Lord to raise my children up, and they raised all my children up. They got children themselves, and I'm 86 years old. I thank the Lord for keeping me going.
87, Mama. You 87.
Yeah, 87.
88, Lord willing, this year.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for that too, Mom. But all of your children, God saved them, saved us and filled us with his precious Holy Spirit, even calling us into the gospel ministry. And I thank God for a praying mother. I pray, thank God for a praying mother and for a mother that lived the life before us. I thank God for you, Pastor Mom.
Thank you. Thank you. I thank God for you too. And thank you. I couldn't speak that long, but you can do it.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I got a word from the Lord, so I spoke what he gave me. And I've seen you. You do excellently. I love when you minister. And I know that you're going to minister straight from the word of God and by the Spirit, whatever God gives you. And I thank God for you, Pastor Mom. Hallelujah.
Thank God for all my children, too.
Amen, amen.
Special for you, because you can really help.
Oh, glory to God, glory to God.
And I ask the Lord that you can hear his word.
Thank you, thank you. God bless you, Pastor Mom. Thank you so much, Mom.
You're welcome.
Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're going to go on to the next one now. If there's anybody else, has anybody else pushed the number one? All right.
Hello.
Pastor Mom? Okay.
Hello,
310.
Is
Minister Treva?
Of course. And praise
Hallelujah.
God. And first of all, I thank God that he led you to pray about stomachs. Because, you know, I had a procedure last week. Well, they took they removed a benign tumor out of me, and I've been kind
Glory
of sore.
God.
And so when you pray, I'm not hurting anymore. But
Glory to God. Glory to God.
I give honor to God for that word tonight, and I just thank you for it. It really ministered to my heart. I got my marching orders, and I'm just thankful. And, you know, I've been releasing our forgiveness over certain people, too, and over for certain things, and we're back talking, you know, but I know how to pray and stand against those spirits. So I just thank you for this service tonight.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. That's a wonderful blessing, Sister Treva. That's a wonderful blessing.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. One of the things that God has been ministering to me as I go to pray for you each night, and in the last few days, I was thankful to the Lord for you for the many years that you stood as a prayer partner with me for now 40 years, about 40 years of, that you
over
stood with me.
Over
40 years now that you stood with me in prayer. And I thank God for you. And one of the things that the Lord was ministering to me back in the day when before my last two girls were born, and how I saw how your faith was unwavering. And how your faith,
Amen.
You stood with me, even when it looked like things were not going to happen. And already I began to pray now concerning certain areas where your life is, and asking the
Amen.
Lord to prepare me and get everything ready for me and my family so that the things that he's promised you as they come into fruition will be able to be partakers, not partakers in the sense of being able to be in attendance. So I just want you to know,
Amen.
Without going into anything in particular, all of it, but just to let you know, I thank God for all that he has promised you. I thank him for bringing it to pass. And I thank him for all of his good word to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because when you've been faithful in a few things, God makes us ruler over much. And I thank God for you and for your faithfulness to God, your faithfulness to your family and to your friends. And I just praise God for you and your faithfulness in prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God for you,
Amen.
Minister Treva. Glory to God.
Thank God for you, too. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Odrabasia. Odramandeste. Hold on 1 second. Odramandeste. Bede kingandaroko odrabasia. Isande de bede kingandaroko odra. I hear the Lord first of all say, he said, continue to hold on to his hand. Continue to hold on to his hand. He said, he sees, he knows, he cares. Odramandeste about every single thing in your life. Odramandeste. He said, not long. You said, how long? Not long. God said, not long. And all that I have promised you will surely come to pass. He said, I'm not a man that I should lie. Have I not said it? And shall I not do it? And it shall be marvelous in your sight and in my sight, says the Lord. Continue, the Lord says, to hold on. Stand in faith. Continue to trust me. Not looking to the left or to the right. Odramande said, cast not away your confidence, for you have recompense of great reward. Odramande said, Bede King Andadoko Odrabasia. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He signed the Bede King Anda. And as an act of your faith, just reach out. Just hold on to his hand. He conned the whole shot. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Odramande said, Bede King Andadoko Odrabasia. Now, this may not make a lot of sense, but I'm going to say it like I hear it. He said, prepare yourself for packing. Begin to let him show you what to pack up and begin to pack up. Just like you're packing up for moving. He said, pack some things, the things that there, and he's going to show you what to take, what not to take, what to get rid of, what not to get rid of, and during the time and in the spirit. And he's going to show you exactly what to do. I don't know why I see some clear containers. I see clear containers. Odramandeste, bede kinganda doko odrabasia. Odramandeste, even get you stickers. If you can get you some stickers so you can write on there what you're putting in there so you won't have to forget whatever's in there as he packs as you get ready. But just get ready for moving. Get ready for moving. I can remember Minister Treva when when there were people that came and told me that I was going to be moving from in California, Los Angeles. First, a long time ago, they told me I'd be moving from the village where we were staying at. And people were moving out all around me. My good friends, one moved down to Florida, and then Minister Zola, she moved to another place, and everybody was moving, but we were still there in the village. And then when the time and the fullness of time came, God moved us into our home, and we bought a home in California. And then the time came when God began to deal with me about moving again. And as the time came, it seemed like it wasn't going to come to pass for a long time, but it did. And then we moved out of the state and moved down here to the south. So there are things that God is preparing, and even if it's just a little thing, just like we're in the process in Jesus' name by faith to move now. And so we begin to do the things that we can do, which is to pack and get things done what we can do. I mean, we have to still occupy here and live here, but yet we believe God for moving and removing. And so there's some things that, and that's for somebody else too. Somebody else got a release in that. Somebody who's listening and may listen in a later time, get yourself ready. Pack your things. When God told me I was going to have a child, and even though I'd had six to go to be with the Lord, when God told me I was going to have a child, the Lord said, start wearing maternity clothes, Helen. And I can remember how I wore maternity clothes and believed God for my child to be born. And sure enough, my child was born. And then God even blessed me with another. So I just say to you, Sister True, by the Spirit of God, just prepare yourself for moving. I know that you got, and I see in the Spirit that you're already in that mode already. This is nothing new. This is a confirmation for you. Is it?
Amen.
Is it a confirmation?
It is. Because we already have things packed up, and then I've had to throw some things out. Some things were thrown out that I had for years and years and years while I was going on my trip. And, yeah, there's still things packed up because we're having stuff worked out in the house. And I was thinking about that. There's some things I have to transfer to other boxes. I have been thinking about that too, and there's some more things that I gotta get rid of too. So yeah.
Hallelujah. And one of the things that's so wonderful is that he said the reason that he's telling you the plastic container, that one that seals up, is so that no matter what, won't get no wet. Won't get no
wet.
Won't
get nothing on it. I know that's right.
Won't get it. We don't get any wet on it. Glory to God.
Exactly. Because I had seven boxes. And
some of it got ruined. Hallelujah. Well, I praise God for you, and I thank God for you being on the program tonight. I truly thank God for bringing you through the surgery, and for the report being coming out very well. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
Jesus for you. Glory to God. Anything
Thank
else
Jesus
before we
y'all.
Go, sis?
I just want to say hello, everybody there, and to everybody listening. God bless the Price family, and I love y'all. Minister Joe and Joy, Amber, Pastor Helen, Pastor Mom, Pastor Kat, Apostle Kizzy, all those who are listening tonight, and God bless you. Happy New Year, and I just thank God I was able to listen tonight. And I have wanted to talk to you, sis, and God opened that door.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I wanted to
hallelujah.
Talk to you today. And when I heard
did
your
you
voice,
really?
I said, yes, I did.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're gonna make us another one of those appointments so we can talk, okay?
Okay. I'll
all right,
you about
and I because
okay.
I have been I also have been wanting to talk to you too. You know, I don't do we don't neither one of us does a lot of talking on the phone. But,
no, I'm not a
one thing about
person
gonna,
either.
Yeah, you know, we know that because we've been friends for 40 years, and I know neither one of us do.
Yes.
But as the Lord says, the same. Lord willing, we'll get together. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, well, God bless
all
everybody.
Right.
I'm gonna go back on mute. And
right.
I love
you. And love you, sis.
God
and give my love
you.
To your to give my love to your sister and to your brother-in-law in
oh,
Jesus' name.
My other sisters on a cruise for a week, Sharinda, to, out in the Caribbean. So I'm praying
Hallelujah.
For her. Hallelujah.
Okay,
she went with Miss Clausell's daughter, Tracy, and some other friends. Yeah.
Glory to God.
Praise God. Glory to God. Okay.
All right. I'll keep them in prayer, okay?
Thank you. Okay.
All
I
right.
Love y'all.
You have a blessed night now. All right. Love you.
Bye-bye. Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. 314-279. You're open. Your line is open.
Hello.
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 This Minister Dale?
Oh. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sis. How you doing?
Yeah. Good evening. Oh, I'm doing good.
Good
I was
evening.
Listening to you as you was praying about talking about somebody with pain in the stomach. I wanted to also ask you to pray for my granddaughter Jada, Latoya, and Wayne. They're also gone to the hospital to be with her as she's gone into labor. I prayed with her at the baby shower over her and the baby, but I just wanted to ask you to pray over her for Jada and Nate LaVey.
All right, over Jada. Father God, I join my prayers with Minister Deb, Lord God, and I thank you and praise you, Lord God, even now, Heavenly Father, that there will be a good and safe and uneventful, Lord God, delivery for Jada, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would direct every nurse, every doctor, every technician, Lord God, that comes in contact with Jada, Father God. I pray the canopy of your great glory as a defense and protection around her, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father God, I pray your special protection, not only over Jada, but over the baby, Lord God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we commit and commend them to you and to the word of your grace that's able to keep, guard, defend, and preserve them. Lead and guide them in every area. And, Lord, I pray, Lord God, for your protection, Lord God, and, Lord God, for a good, safe delivery for Jada and for her precious baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I plead your blood, your name, your word over them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yeah. So,
Hallelujah.
You know, when you said the stomach area, and I just, you know, pray and plead the blood of Jesus, and I also pray for Uncle Herb and Apostle Kizzy and Pastor Catherine. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
So,
glory to God. Glory to God.
Also,
and
I want to I just want to ask that you keep my cousin, the Parker and Johnson family, up in prayer, because this past Saturday, my cousin Tina, she went to be with the Lord.
Oh,
I'm
sorry to hear that. Oh, my. I'm so sorry to hear that. And Father, we pray this day for the Parker and the Smith. Is it Parker and Smith, you said?
Johnson.
Parker and Johnson family. And Lord God, in the homegoing, Lord God, of Sister Deb's cousin, is that your cousin? We pray for much comfort,
yes,
much strength for the whole family. That Daddy God, only you can comfort ones, as only you can do it, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord God, that you would give much comfort with peace and strength to each one, Lord God, during this time, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Sister Deb, can you hear me? Sister Deb?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes. The word that I hear that came up in my spirit as I was on the phone with you is that song, I Can See Clearly Now, The Rain Is Gone. And God says that he's given you a clarity of vision, and a clarity of heart. You know, they used to say that some people can see through muddy water and spy dry land. God has given you such clarity of faith and vision that you're able to look and see what him and his word, what he's doing for you on your behalf. The Lord said, continue to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor in the Lord
yes.
is not in vain. God has some very, very good things in store for you, Sister Deb. All that I'm on this, he said his exceeding
yes.
abundant over and above whatever you could expect, ask, or even think is even prepared right now, right for you. Continue to say yes to his will, yes to his way, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Bless
yes.
you, Lord God. Bless you, Lord God.
Thank
you, Jesus.
And
glory
I thought about
God.
That earlier today. I said, the storm is over.
Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, so.
Hallelujah.
I'll go back on mute.
Oh, all right. God bless you. Send much love to you, David,
and
the
God
whole family. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
All right?
In Jesus' name.
All right.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Now, if there's anybody else before we go and you'd either like us to pray for you or you want to make a comment about the word, please press your number one key. There's no more ones there, and if not, we'll begin to close off. But we'll wait on you now. If you need to push or you want to say something, come on, I'd like to hear from you in the new year. Push your number one key. And if you do so, we'll talk. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Well, we thank God for today and thank God for this time, this special time with you. And we thank God for Apostle Kizzy, our host, in her absence. We thank God for this program tonight and for him allowing us to be there. And we thank God for each one of you that have heard the word and listened to the word tonight and these directives about this new year of 2020 and also for the decade of the 20s. Now, as we close off today, there might be one of you or some of you that may listen to this at a later date, and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And the word of God said, whosoever, in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's just a whosoever, no matter what your race, your creed, your color, he said that whosoever would believe on him would not perish. We would have everlasting life. And if you're listening tonight and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Lord Jesus, this night, this day, I ask you to come into my heart, to come into my life. I do believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I do believe that God raised you from the dead. This day I repent of all of my sins. I give my heart and life to you. Lord God, I ask you to baptize me and fill me with your precious Holy Spirit, with power, love, and a sound and well-balanced mind. I thank you for who you are in my life, and I give you glory and praise and honor in Jesus' name. This night, if you prayed that prayer with me tonight, according to Acts 20 and verse 32, I commit and commend you to God and to the word of his grace that's able to keep you, guard, defend, and preserve you in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you today for the program. We thank you, Lord God, for Apostle Kizzy and Pastor Catherine. Lord God, as they continue to go forth and helps and in ministry, Lord God, even to help out where dad and mom are concerned. And I thank you, Lord God, for this program that you have given unto her, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for all of your many hands and your hand upon her life and upon this ministry. Lord God, I ask you to continue to bless it indeed as never before. And I give you praise and glory and honor. We give you praise, Father God, for what you've already done, what you're doing now, and what you're going to do. We love you, we honor you, and reverence you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless each one of you. May he keep you. May he make his face to shine greatly upon each one of you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, may you have a blessed night. God bless each and every one of you. Good night.
And thank you for joining us. We invite you to enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcast by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarm. Meet us for Sunday school every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern. Bible study every Monday at 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic healing every second Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. And finally, the Friday night edition of Get 'Em Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. When you have an opportunity, please Google Get 'Em Radio. That's G-I-T-M Radio. Click our Blog Talk Radio site and you'll be able to listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as our on-demand archives. And while you're on the site, click the follow button and you'll get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. If you're involved in a home, small, or parachurch ministry and would like to be a guest on Get 'Em Radio, please contact us at getemradio@gmail.com. That's gitmradio@gmail.com. Or call us at 903-776-4486. That's 903-776-GITM. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. God bless and have a blessed rest of the day.
Y'all tell them.